Good Friday is a problem. Would you agree? What's so good about it? Certainly nothing is good for us. And I would suggest there wasn't a lot good 2,000 years ago either. Certainly wasn't good for Pilate. His wife was having nightmares, and he was having second thoughts about this Jesus fella. It wasn't good for Herod either. He had his own problems with the Romans and the Jews. And even those Jewish leaders, it wasn't good for them. Oh, sure, their one problem, he was going to be put to death. But they might have an even bigger problem if his promise to rise from the grave actually occurred. That's going to be a really big problem. And certainly it was not good for Jesus' followers. Because Friday is the day that their master was killed. Not just died, but murdered. You know, everything looked so much better on Sunday. Palm Sunday, we call it today. Jesus came into town. Hailed as a king, there were cheers of victory, the Messiah, he's finally come. And really, Monday and Tuesday weren't bad either. Jesus taught once again in the temple, words of wisdom and love. And Wednesday and Thursday, they were pretty good days also. Family days, the disciples, they're a family, they were with Jesus. They made preparation for the Passover, the holy Passover meal, and then on that Thursday, they all celebrated together a supper. And then everything changed on Friday. Yes, I would say Good Friday is a problem, but the biggest problem is, well, not the day, but the cross. You see, most people liked the teachings of Jesus. Oh, there were a few who were a little put out, the Pharisees in particular. His miracles, that was something to see. They attracted the crowds. And of course, everyone loved the stories. All of those good deeds, the compassion, the mercy that he had for others, the feeding of the 5,000. The healing of the lame, even the raising of the dead. And all of that is a part of the Christian message. But it is not the heart. The heart of the message is that we preach Christ crucified. We sing that our glory is in the cross. And that's a problem. Because we would just like to go from Sunday to Sunday and skip everything else in the middle of the week. Wouldn't it be great if we could just go from the Hosannas of Palm Sunday to the Alleluias of Easter in just a couple of days? But we can't. As much as we might wish otherwise. You can't have Easter without Good Friday. You can't have the empty tomb without a dead man hanging on the cross. And you can't have a victory over sin and death unless first you become sin and death. Friday was a very long day. So long it actually began the night before. On Thursday, and it kind of all ran together. You remember that Passover meal? Jesus was with those disciples. And afterward, they all went together to go out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said, I'm just going to pray for a little while. Just stay awake with me for a little while. But with the hectic schedule and all that had gone on, and after that large meal and all of that wine, they were kind of like me on a Thursday night watching TV, and I just kind of fall asleep. And they probably thought it was a dream when all of a sudden they heard the clanging of swords and shields and all this commotion there in the garden. And just like that, Jesus is arrested. The Sanhedrin comes together secretly there in the middle of the night. They have a mock trial. They have fake witnesses. They're all bribed. And they make up this unbelievable story about how Jesus has said that he was going to destroy the temple in 3 days and then build it back up again. It really didn't matter what they said because it was all illegal anyway. All of this beside the point, truly, because the verdict was already spoken. He would be guilty. And yet Jesus never protested. He didn't strike back. He didn't talk back. In fact, he didn't even say a word. Like a lamb before the shearer and sheep before the slaughter. It was Friday and there was nothing good about it. Because Jesus is in trouble. I bet you've had days like that. Days when you wished you had never gotten out of bed. From the very beginning, everything goes wrong. It seems like the whole world is against you. Maybe at work, maybe at home. You get blamed, you get accused. It isn't your fault. But you can't do anything about it. It reminds me of the story of the little 3-year-old boy. And you can probably relate to this when I first heard about this. It reminds me of Andrew. I think he's there in the back. Little 3-year-old boy, always in trouble. And always getting blamed. So here he is, right in the middle of the bathroom with all this toilet paper just piled up because the roll had been unrolled. And his hand is still on the roll. And so the mother comes in and says, "How many times have I told you not to do that? Now go up to your room." And there he goes. And mom, of course, she has to clean up the mess. And she begins putting it all back together. But she notices that it looks like somehow that roll that is almost all unrolled, someone had tried to put it back on the roll. So she goes back up to the 3-year-old, my Andrew. And he explains, "Mom, it really wasn't me. It was my 2-year-old sister. And I was just trying to fix it." And mom says, "I'm sorry I blamed you." And that little 3-year-old boy, as only little 3-year-olds can do, hugs his mommy, and with these big 3-year-old eyes, he says, "It's okay, Mom. I forgive you." But that's not how it works for us so often, is it? You have been accused of far worse than unrolling the toilet paper. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can't explain it away. No one's going to believe you. You are accused and you are guilty. You know, the worst part of Good Friday for Jesus wasn't what his adversaries did. It wasn't what Pilate did. It wasn't what Herod would do. It wasn't what the soldiers would do. It's what his friends did. Judas comes to him in the garden. "Rabbi." And he hugs him and he gives him a kiss to betray him. And all the rest, they just run away. Peter, of course, you know, good Peter, he's always there when you need him, except when he's not. "I don't even know the man," he said, 3 times, even with an oath. The man who had pledged his undying devotion to his master, runs away at the very first sign of trouble. No, this is not a good Friday. It's not shaping up to be a very good day. But you know what? Sunday is coming. Now, by sunrise on Jesus last Friday, the pace quickened up. There was a betrayal, the phony trial, then he's taken to Pilate. But now it's not just words that pierce Jesus. It gets far more physical. Soldiers not only mock and insult him, but they spit on him, and then they take this crown of thorns and they jam it on his head. And there's blood everywhere. And not just that, but they take this scourge, this whip. It's tied in knots, and not only the knots, but pieces of metal and bone. And they strike him not once, not twice, but over and over and over again, almost to the point of death, 39 times, and his flesh is ripped to shreds, literally like hamburger, pounded. And not just the back, but his front as well, because the whip wraps around. And they take his beard and they rip out the whiskers. And a few stray blows catch him across the brow. And then they march him up to the hill and they strap the beam across his back. And then on that pole that is there where he is tied, he thumps into the ground, the shock going through his entire body. And the nails, the ones, no, not like the ones that you placed in this cross, but railroad spike, pounded with a hammer, and not just through the palms of the hands, as we see in all of those nice portraits of the crucifixion, but through the bones of the wrist, shattering the tendons. So when he is on that cross, he is not able to lift himself up even to breathe. And similar nails pounded through his feet. And there he is dying minute by minute, hour by hour, suspended between heaven and earth in the hot sun with two criminals on either side. And then about noon, there is an eclipse and the sun goes dark and the one thief knows that something is coming and he says, come into your kingdom. Do not forget. Don't forget about me. And Jesus, in his compassion, looks out not only at the soldiers, but the thieves and the murderers and all of those who betrayed him and his mother and the beloved disciple. And he said to all of them, Father, forgive them. You see, there was only one innocent person there on that hill that day. And that was Jesus. And that was the most painful thing of all. More difficult to bear than the beating, than the scourging, than the crown of thorns and the nails through his wrists and his feet. Even more difficult to bear than all the sins of the entire world. But now Jesus, as he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's abandoned by his Father, the one who is supposed to love him the most, the one who has sent him for this only purpose. He is completely separated and abandoned. This is not a good Friday at all. You may remember when Mel Gibson filmed the last 12 hours of Jesus' life in The Passion of the Christ. He wanted the message that it was not the Roman soldiers or the conniving politicians that nailed Jesus to the cross. And so, being a famous actor, also the director and producer of this blockbuster movie, he doesn't portray himself at all in the film. His face is never shown, but only his hand, and then only one. As they take up the hammer and pound the spikes into Jesus. Those hands could have been mine, and they could have been yours. You know, sometimes crucifixion could last for days, but not on this Friday. At 3 o'clock, Jesus declares, "It is finished," and he breathed his last. The soldiers removed his body. They quickly took it down. His friends then carried him away to an empty tomb. They wrapped the body in cloths. They have to do it quickly because they don't want to get into trouble because it's Friday. And tomorrow is the Jewish Sabbath. But Sunday is coming. This Friday, it ended in death. And the disciples were distraught. They were dejected. They were filled with grief. You know how it is. Any one of you who has buried a loved one or a friend, you know exactly how it is when you stand over the grave. It feels like time stands still and you say a prayer to God. You wish it could go away and you would wake up from that dream. And things would be like they were before. But you know better. Because death and the grave cast a shadow over everything. You know, when you stand over that grave, that's a good time to think of this day, to think of Good Friday and to remember that Jesus was there. It was Friday, but Sunday is coming. And my friends, that's why we call it good. Because Sunday is coming. You know, I spoke of the darkness, but I know that there is light. I spoke of the pain, but I know that there is comfort. I spoke of death, but I know that there is life. And I know that there is a cross, and you know what? It is not a problem. It is rather the solution. Because Jesus first needed to become sin and death so that on Sunday we could declare the victory that Jesus has won for every single one of us over our problem of sin and the death that is inevitable for each and every one of us. And so, yes, today is Friday, and it's because Sunday is coming.